All right, we got a baptism after church today in the ocean, right out there. World's largest baptistry. And if you want to come, then there it is. All you got to do is walk down there. And this is whose phase? Phase baptism? Okay. And we'll get that done shortly after service. Be sure to take your small chairs and put them back over here. The large chairs stay where they are. Bible study Monday night. Monday night at 7 at the Allen Funeral Home. All right. I'm seeing if you're paying attention. The Allen Lee's Funeral Home. You're going to find the funeral home quicker than you wanted to. And that's at Nixon's Crossroads, if you can make it, be there. All right, what else? That's all we got. The Wise family's coming. The little boys are coming. The 29th or 8th, what's Sunday? That 29th, Sunday the 29th, which is not next Sunday, the next. Our little fellows will be here with their mom and dad. And Brenda got us some rooms from the Chamber of Commerce. She finagled a couple of rooms down there. That was good. And Ann's got them some tickets to the, Butterfly Pavilion and the aquarium and the NASCAR rides. And several of you have said, can you help with food? And I said, well, I'm really on a diet, but I appreciate you asking. Everything will be taken care of. Don't forget to get your little envelopes. They'll be up here for little Benjamin, Paul's son. He's holding his own with his leukemia. And the Wise family constantly needs help. And during the week, if you can drop a little something in the mail, that's wonderful. If you can't, that's fine too. Just pray for them. Send them a little card. Several of you have sent toys and other things. And everything is appreciated. They'll be here to thank you in the 29th. And don't miss that. And don't bring a Kleenex. Bring a towel. It will be towel day. So we're glad you're here. We have anybody for the first time visiting with us? Nobody here for the first time at all. This one is one. Oh, look at that. All right. Good. Thank you. People on the front row. People in back told on you, so it's all right. You don't have to raise. Got the muffin here for the first time. And we're glad you're here. Come back, bring people with you, and we're glad to have you. We thank H. Lee. His dad is doing real good. The gentleman who leases this place and lets us use it for free, H. Lee Brown, a friend of mine and a friend of yours. His dad had a heart attack, 80 years old, went to the hospital, but he's out now and doing fine, and that's good. Others of you are doing well. You report on some sicknesses, and that's good. So this morning, if you have a Bible with you, we're going to talk about Jonah. If you'll turn to the book of Jonah, we will discuss that this morning after we pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come to you in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and thank you for a beautiful day that you have given us. How kind you are to us. We think of the world around us and the troubles they have that we don't have. And we find ourselves a privileged people. And we thank you for that. Be with us today as we expound your word. As always, remove me from this place that you be heard. That anything I say that should be forgotten should be. That I say that should be remembered would be. And there'll be one here who knows you not as Savior and Lord. That the day's sun will not set and find them in that condition. For here, as Jonah found, we found the answer. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. It's interesting, I had decided to preach this message. Ann keeps telling me about big fish. I said, you want big fish? I'll give you big fish. We'll talk about Jonah on Sunday. And interestingly enough, I was watching television last night, and they play reruns of Billy Graham's greatest sermons. And he started, and he said, now, I'm going to preach on Jonah tonight. I said, well, isn't that something? and he took a different tack than I do, but it's quite all right. I'll just call him and tell him not to be using my stuff. So he's doing pretty good on his own. Jonah, of course, as soon as you mention the name, you think of the story of the fish. Some people say whale. And strangely enough, that's the least important part of the story. That was just a vehicle in which he was given a ride. The story is about God's mercy. And this story is about a prophet with an attitude. Jonah was a prophet of God, a preacher. But he had gotten a little bit of an attitude. And as you begin with verse 1, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." And King James English is not as colorful as we are. And what happened here is the Lord got sick of Nineveh and their foolishness. That's going to happen a lot in the near future. It's happened sometimes in the past, and he wiped cities completely from the map, as he did Nineveh later on, past the book of Nineveh, past the book of Jonah. And God is very patient. He'll let you get away with a whole lot. And that's because of his goodness and his kindness and his love and the will of God, it says in Scripture. The will of God is that all be saved. When Noah had the ark, you remember, he was closed in. And God said, "You just go in, I'll shut the door." Because he knew that as soon as people started screaming and apologizing for not listening, that Noah would weaken and would open the door. And God said, "No, when I shut the door, that's going to be it. I'm through with these people. I've given them the chance. I'm going to give them 7 more days. You sit there." And that's a picture of the tribulation period, by the way, 7 more years after the rapture of the church, when people will still have time to find who the Messiah was. And it said a nation will be born in a day. Millions will come to him when they realize who he was. And Lord let him have 7 more days, then he shut the door, and once he shuts it, it's shut. And it's unusual here because he shut the door on Nineveh. He had had enough. You have to know a little of the history of Nineveh. The Ninevites were some of the wickedest people who ever lived. I mean, you can't even tell in mixed company some of the things they did. It isn't even discussable. But when they killed a captive, when they'd capture someone, they found great joy in cutting small strips on their back and stripping them alive. Then they take the head and put it on a stick and set it outside the city for all to see. These were mean, nasty, rotten people. And Jonah hated them. So God said, "Look, I want you to get up, go down to Nineveh, and I want you to preach." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. If you'll look it up, Joppa's on the beach. He said, "I'm not fooling with this. I'm going to the beach." And he ignored what God asked him to do and went to the beach, got on a ship to go to Tarshish. And Scripture says he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now at this point, Jonah's already in mental confusion. He's depending on himself instead of the God he worships. And I know that because I know he was a prophet of God, and I know he knew the Scriptures, and I know that at sometimes he had read the 139th Psalm. And he's going to run away from God, and I don't know how this man who was such a scriptural authority forgot that God had said, "Where shall I go from thy spirit? Or where shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." Sadly, had Jonah just gone back and read that and thought on it, he could have avoided what was to come. So he decides he'll run from the face of God, and the next verse said, "But the Lord sent out a great wind unto the sea." The word "sent" there actually means he hurled it out. He had made God hot. It made him mad. And God said, "You're going to hide, little boy? Going to jump in that boat and head the other way, are you? We'll see if that works." And he sent a raging storm so that the ship was in danger of being broken in half. Then the mariners, and the mariners there were probably the Phoenicians. The Phoenicians would load up their boats and trade wares up and down the coastline, country to country, and they were famous sailors. They were the Walmart of that day. The mariners were afraid. They saw the storm and cried every man to his God, and they cast forth the wares which were in the ship into the sea to lighten it. Started throwing in the silk and throwing in the food and throwing in the things that they had to trade and to sell, because their life was on the line, and here went their livelihood over a storm, and they were pretty hot about it. And they could see death was at the forefront, so they began to pray to their God, and it's a small g, so it was to no avail. But Jonah had gone down and gone to sleep inside the ship. And the shipmaster came to him and it said, "What meanest thou, O sleeper?" Which in our language is, "What are you doing down here sleeping when we're about to die? What do you mean coming down here and sleeping? Everybody else is praying to their God. You've been up top telling how wonderful your God is. Now we find out you going trying to run away from him. But if you have a God, you start praying and you get on your knees so that your God will think upon us well and not perish us." Now here's a complete pagan and a heathen calling one of God's people to prayer. Isn't that a shame? Isn't that sad when it happens to me and it happens to you? When somebody who knows nothing about the scriptures and knows nothing about the Lord, cares nothing about the church or the things of God, ask you if you've seen Billy Graham. Ask you if you bother to come down here and go to church. Ask you if you ever brought anybody with you. Isn't that a shame, and isn't it embarrassing? And somehow God sends them along, doesn't he? And they said, everyone to his fellow, "Let us cast lots that we can know whose fault this is, whose cause this evil's upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Now, please understand, in that economy, the casting of lots, the rolling of dice, was a very acceptable means of finding out the will of God. And you can turn back to the Psalms again, and it will tell you in one of the Psalms that they cast the lots in the lap. They'd have those dress-looking things on. One would make a table, and they would roll the dice, and the numbers would come up, and they said, "We cast the lots, but God decides the numbers." And evidently, God let them get by with that, and they used it regularly, and when it fell on Jonah, they had their answer. Boy, they started grilling him. "Tell us whose cause this evil's upon us. What's your occupation? What do you do, boy? Where'd you come from? What country are you from? And who are your people?" They wanted to know. They had lost everything. Now they were losing their lives. And now they find out the man whose fault it was. They want something done. And he said unto them, "I'm a Hebrew. And I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who hath made the sea and the dry land." And I don't understand how he missed the other psalm when he knew about this one. 146 says, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all therein is, who keepeth truth forever." He remembered that one. Isn't it a shame he couldn't remember the other one? So the men said, "Look, why have you done this to us?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Guilty conscience got him. Got on the boat down in Joppa, headed for Tarshish, and just could not keep it to himself. I guess you know why I'm on this trip. I said, we don't even know who you are, let alone where you're on this trip. He said, well, God asked me to do something. I'm a prophet, and God asked me to do something for it, and I didn't do it. He had told several people, and they recalled this. And they said to him, what shall we do now that the sea can be calm to us? For the sea's raging and it's tempestuous. We don't want to die because of you. And Jonah said, look, take me and cast me into the sea, and the sea shall be calm for you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. And here once again, had he been in touch with God, had he took those few minutes to just sit down and pray and say, wait a minute, let me return into my God. Let me find out the answer. I'll be with you in a few minutes. But he's panic stricken now. And he said, just throw me overboard and that will do it. All he had to say was, I know the answer. I've run from God. He said, go to Nineveh. I'm going to Tarshish. And if you fellas will just turn this boat around and head for Nineveh, I promise you the sea will lay calm. And I promise you it would have. But in his state of mind, he couldn't think of anything but, oh, now I'll take it out on myself, throw me overboard. So he did. And the men rowed to bring the ship to land, but they couldn't. You see, they didn't know the scripture. We'd have told them from Psalm 21 that there is no understanding nor counsel against the Lord. Once he decides something, that's the end of it. Why do you keep fighting? And it's a message to us. We will make the same mistake over and over and over and over, expecting different results. I'm sad to report that is the definition of insanity. He who keeps doing the same thing repeatedly, expecting different results, is insane. And that's what we do. And here's what he was going to do. And he says, wherefore they cried unto the Lord. Now, this is the mariners. This is the Phoenicians. Now, they want to join up and find out who God really is. They've seen enough. We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. And lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. They're blaming God. Hey, don't get mad at us when this sucker drowns. You the one causing the waves, is what they're saying. Don't hold it against us. We're doing what you wanted done. We're on your side. No, they weren't. They were lying. So they took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Now you can imagine, you're a sailor. You're a mariner, and you're in a storm, and you've seen storms out before you when the hurricanes come. And it's a fierce sight. But to be out in it on a ship, I can imagine, will really get your attention. And the waves are going in 20 and 30 feet high and crashing down, and they know they're done. And they throw this guy overboard, and he no more than hits the water, and it looks like that. You could water ski on it. Now God's got their attention. Now they know. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. That's reverential fear and the fear we know. And offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. And they said, we'll follow you now. We want this God who can calm the sea. We want to be next to a God. And surely not all of them did, but a few did. Because some of them made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish, and that word means really a sea dragon. We don't know if it was a whale or a shark. We don't know what it was. We just know that it was, because not only did Jonah tell the truth in the scriptures, in Matthew 12:40, Jesus likens him being in the whale for 3 days to his burial and resurrection. Jonah and the rest of the stories in the Old Testament, the incidents that happened, all of them, if you look carefully and read between the lines, will be a picture of the Savior to come. Every one of them. And this is what this is. And it's 3 days and three nights. The fish came and swallowed him up. I was laughing because the scientists, bless their little heart. Well, a whale can't swallow a person. First place, didn't say it was a whale. Second place, it said it's a supernatural act and it was something done by God. When God's unlimited and anything can happen, it could have been a goldfish if he wanted it so. And they persisted about for years. I remember they'd teach us when we were in high school. Well, a whale's throat's too small and they eat plankton and there's no, couldn't happen. I saw one the other last Tuesday on television. Watching the animal channel there, people on TV aren't a whole lot to behold. And they showed a new shark they had found. Nobody ever seen one. And he was a big lip shark, just had a huge mouth. And didn't have any teeth. And all he eats is plankton. And they had never seen one before. Nobody had ever seen one. And they wanted to monitor him, but they couldn't get close enough to him. He wouldn't allow it. And when he got tired of playing with them, all of a sudden he just turned head down. And all they could do was watch him disappear. And they said, we'd love to know how deep he goes. We'd love to know what's down there. He goes to the bottoms of the bottoms of the bottoms of the sea. And we have no idea what's down there. But you could look at the mouth of that thing and tell that he could swallow a man easily. They never fooled us Southern Baptists. We had no trouble with this because a lot of us been up to Tennessee. You go up to the TVA dam and you go to the bottom of that thing and I'll show you a horse, a catfish that can swallow a horse. They're down there now. They are down there now. We've been knowing that. No news for us. But Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. This ends any controversy as to whether he was alive or not. Dead men don't pray. And conversely, those of you who are hooked up with denominations that pray to dead men, you can stop that too. They can't hear you. They're gone. But he was alive and prayed to the Lord. It's attested to by Jesus Christ. That is all any Bible-believing Christian needs to know. Needs no further research. Needs no further verification. I need nothing else, but Christ Jesus said, that was a picture of me being in the ground 3 days. And when he referred to it as fact, that ended it. That ended it. Jonah said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I. I guess he thought this is hell when he got in there. And thou heard my voice. Excuse me. For thou had cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, like God didn't know what he had done. And the floods compassed me about. All the billows and thy waves passed over me. And I said, I'm cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again towards thy holy temple. Here he is taking a page out of Job. Do you remember what Job said when all his troubles came upon him? Troubles that no man had known before. And even when one was just reported, here came another guy reporting another catastrophe. When he was through, as he was speaking, another would come and report another catastrophe. Remember what Job said? Send them on. Though you slay me, I will trust you. And here, Jonah takes an attitude similar. He said, I'm in trouble. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds, seaweeds, wrapped around my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. That old fish said, I think I'll dive. And he went. All he knew, it was a long time, and he was in big trouble. He said, the earth with its bars were about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption. And here we see a good message for you and I. The love and compassion of the Lord Jesus, that it does not matter what depths of sin you have gone down into, He is still willing to hear your prayer of repentance and still ready to bring you up from whatever depths you went to. What a God, what a Savior, what a friend, what a Lord that will hear me at the depths of my life when I know I've brought it on myself. I know it is my fault where I am. I know the actions I've taken and decisions I've made have put me in this place. And still yet, though it's my fault, I can call on Him and say as Jonah did, "Oh Lord, my God, please help me." And I know He will. When my soul fainted within me, total depression, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came unto Thee, unto Your holy temple. And then He says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. And what in the world does that mean? Well, what that means is they that believe empty lies, those that are dependent on the rabbit's foot. You don't have to be too quick to figure out it wasn't too lucky for the rabbit. Those who depend on false gods, those who depend on false religions, those who are going to depend on something they do or something they take or something they drink or something they put on them or some gesture they make in a church of some kind or something. No, those are all lying vanities, and they are empty when you're in a whale's belly headed downhill. The only place to turn is to the Lord God and call on Him. And that's what He said. He said, I'll sacrifice unto Thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. And then Jonah comes to the realization of his life and said, salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is the great encompassing word of Scripture, which encompasses salvation, forgiveness of sins, deliverance, healing, every other good thing that comes from the Lord. Salvation, the word, encompasses. We shorten it to being saved, knowing who God is, asking the Lord Jesus to forgive your sins, which He paid for on Calvary, and not to impute them to you, but to impute His righteousness to you. For He died in your stead, He died in your place, and He will impute His righteousness to you as if you were Him. What a God. And the Lord spoke unto the fish and said, Moby, I think it was Moby Fred. And Fred, he's learned, head for the shore. And so he did. He headed for the beach, and he vomited Jonah upon the dry land. Just threw him up. Just threw him up. And here's where you read between the lines and have a lot of fun. Can you see him? People out there with the umbrellas. Here come the big fish and throws Jonah up, draped in seaweed, stinking to high heaven, and everybody looking at him. How embarrassing. Now, everybody saw this, the fishermen who were down to the shore that day, and the word got out that this fish had come and thrown a man up, and they said, "Why, you ridiculous." He said, "Y'all been drinking." "No, we weren't. We were working. We were fishing." And I swear, Bob, a fish came up, and we were scared because he was headed for us, and he turned and went to the beach, and he threw a guy up, and we saw him walking around. And if I saw him again, I'd recognize him. I saw him. Oh, he was asking us to help him get clean, and it was a pitiful sight, but we saw this happen. This is eyesight. And then scripture doesn't tell you, but Jonah got some clothes from somewhere and went back home. A little more humble this time. So a few days and weeks pass, and the Lord says, Jonah. Yes, Lord. What do you think about going over to Nineveh and preaching some? Ooh, I can see him now saying, oh man, not again. Not again. He said, yep, want you to go to Nineveh. He said, okay, I'll go. This time he went to Nineveh, started preaching. He said, what did he preach? Well, the Lord said, preach what I bid thee. The Lord told him what to preach. He told him to tell Nineveh that they were going to be destroyed in 40 days if they didn't straighten up. He could have just taken them out that day, but he's like, give them 40 more days. And you go over there and preach for 40 days. Well, now Jonah is revved up. He's back in the fold. He's looking good. God hadn't departed from him. He's back from his humiliation. He's in the post of the prophet again. He's been given a message by God himself to preach, and he is ready to go. So he heads out for Nineveh. Nineveh, it says, the great city of 3 days' journey. Doesn't mean it takes 3 days to get there. It means it's 3 days to walk around it. Excuse me. 3 days to walk around the city. There are about 1 million people in that city. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, about a third of the way in, and he cried and said, in 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown. The Lord has spoken unto me. I have a direct message for you. I am the prophet Jonah. And somebody said, isn't that the one we saw on the beach? And somebody said, that's him. And the story was all the way around town, but now, I mean, you've heard it, but now, 2,000 years later, I promise you it got around Nineveh in a hurry. This story about a man that was thrown up by a whale on the beach, and the story was out, and somebody recognized it and said, that's him. It was a prophet. We better listen to this guy. They weren't going to listen to one more street preacher coming through town. We better hear him. And they began to listen, and he told them the God he worshipped and where he was from and what had taken place. The mariners verified that the ocean had turned into turmoil, and then it looked like glass, and that indeed he was thrown overboard. And indeed a fish came and threw him up and took him right where God wanted him to get off. And they were listening. It said the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth. From the greatest of them to the least of them. This is the greatest revival ever held in history. The entire city of Nineveh got converted because they said, man, we've had proof. The fish man, it's Charlie the Tuna. He is here. I saw him. He preaching. I was there. I saw the fish. I saw the ship. My uncle worked on that thing. This is truth. We better hear him. And he told them of the Lord. And they all said, well, we want to worship that God because even the king arose from his throne, laid his robe, and covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. The king. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by a decree of the king. They had to go on a fast. He wouldn't let them eat anything, wouldn't let them taste anything, wouldn't let them drink any water, them or their animals. This dude was serious, wasn't it? He said, let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto this God. Let them turn every one from their evil way, from the violence that's in their hands. And this was his reasoning. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? He said, hey, wait a minute. I understand we've been doing wrong. I understand we're being judged. I understand we're being chastised. But the preacher is saying, if we will turn from our wicked ways, God will show compassion. The king listened to the sermon. And he said, well, let's turn and see. If he's preaching the truth, maybe God won't destroy us. So he did. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said he'd do unto them, and he did it not. God changed his mind. Didn't change his mind. He held back. Nineveh would be destroyed a few books over if you'll keep reading. But God said, okay, I'll give you one more chance. Everybody's repented. Everybody understands. Everybody wants to follow me. I will not destroy your city. Now, I'm telling you that Jonah was a prophet with an attitude. If Billy Graham went to one city in the world, and everybody in it was saved, he would jump up and down. If it was Las Vegas, he'd jump up and down higher. The more wicked it was and the more that got saved, he'd jump up and down. He'd be excited. Falwell do the same thing. I'd do the same thing. But let me tell you what Jonah did. He got hot with God. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly. And he was angry, at God. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? In other words, he's saying, aren't you the one that told me to tell them they were going to be destroyed in 40 days? I backed my reputation on it. I'm trying to make a comeback here. People laughing at me, called me the fish man. And I'm trying to make a comeback. And I've told them, you've given me a message, and it's that Nineveh shall be destroyed. Then I took the boat, and I'm back in Nineveh, and I have preached. And now you're telling them they're not going to be destroyed. And God said, look, they're saved. He said, I want them destroyed. That's a bad attitude if there ever was one, isn't there? But we hear it sometimes, don't we, get sanctimonious and look at people and say, you know, they ought to just take all them and kill them. Best thing they could do with that crowd is just get them out of America. Best thing they could do with all them is electrocute all of them. Saw a crowd last night from California. When they get through with their sentences imposed by the law, the state of California puts them in a mentally insane institution there, and they showed pictures of it and had interviews, and told it was quite interesting. And they told some of the things and said, don't watch if you have a weak stomach, because these people are going to tell you what they did to some people. And it was horrible. I mean, it was horrible. And your first impulse as a human being is to say, look, just get rid of them. They're not going to get well. They're mentally, criminally insane. If we turn them loose, they're going to do it again by their own admission. Nothing can be done. Wouldn't it be best just to get them off the face of the earth? That's your first impression. Then a little voice comes to you and said, why don't you preach to them? Why don't you tell them about me? Why don't you tell them I've saved many a demoniac? I'll let you read about it sometime. That nothing's too hard for God. That my arm is not shortened and my eyes aren't closed and my ears aren't shut up. And take those poor people and let somebody tell them the story of Jesus. Teach them of his love, of his compassion and his forgiveness, and that you can go to the depths of the sea and turn against him, and still he'll reach down as far as he must and pick you up and set you right again. So he said, look, Jonah, you poor little ignorant prophet. He said, take my life from me, Jonah said. Better for me to die than live. How foolish. The Lord asked him, does it do you any good to be angry? Is this really doing you any good? The Jonah went outside the city and built him a booth, and he sat in it and go show himself. He's going to pout. Sun shining on his bald head, making it blistered, and he's going to pout. What God did to me. And during the night, Lord God and said, "I still love you, son." He made a gourd grow up, come over his head and give him some shade for the next day. Said, "I still love you. It's okay." The next night, he made a worm come up and eat the gourd. Said, "But I don't love you that much. You ain't going to pout and rebel against me again." Jonah still didn't get the message, so he sent an east wind and blew on him so hard, said the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished himself to die, and said, "It's better for me to die than to live and to go through this. I don't know what to do." And God said to Jonah, "Is it doing you any good to be angry, son?" And the rebellious rascal said, "I do well to be angry, even unto death." Then said the Lord, "Look, you're sitting here having pity on a gourd, worrying about how it died to keep the sun off your bald head. You didn't labor to make the gourd. You didn't make it grow. It came up in a night and it perished in a night. You didn't do that. I did. And do you care more about a gourd than you do a million people who don't know me? And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle?" He said, "Look, son, you're up here crying about a gourd. A million people are headed for hell. What in the world is wrong with you?" And I watch the preachers, some good and some bad, on television. Many have a great interest in you getting a new Cadillac and a new house, being wealthy. Many are interested in you having your sicknesses healed and laying hands on you and selling your handkerchiefs and laying down on the letters that were sent in. I saw one last week foolishly do. "But I hear very little about go ye into all the world and preach the gospel and turn people from their sin." Very little. And God's saying, "Jonah, son, I'm not worried about the gourds of the earth. I'm worried about the people. And I've asked you to preach a message of reconciliation and reconcile me to them and them to me. And everything will be all right." It doesn't say whether Jonah did it or not. Later, Nineveh went back to its wicked ways and had to be destroyed, which indicates some were truly following God and some were doing it just to get out of trouble, which is reminiscent of people I see today on television. "As long as you bless me and prosper me, I will worship you. But when things get tough, forget about it. Don't. Though you slay me, I will trust you. Though you take me to the depths of the sea, I will turn my face to thy temple and will call upon thee." If you don't know that God and you sit here today, you have no Savior, I suggest you find the one who's cared from the beginning and will care to the end and will go to any depths to see you saved, or to any heights from heaven, or just the height of a cross. But he did it for you. And he did it for me. And I can sit down comfortably at night, at bedtime, and make the greatest theological statement that's ever been made, that even the little children know. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. And he loves you. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can read the story of one of your people who went in rebellion against you. but you're so unlike us, you didn't kill him. You didn't put your wrath upon him. You just showed him who you were. Gave him space to repent. And brought him back to you. Thank you that that's what you did for us. Some of us have heard the gospel story since we were children at a grandmother's knee. In this economy, you can't miss it. It's everywhere. And still some say, no, I'll not turn to the God of mercy and compassion, the Creator. I'll not turn to Christ. I'll figure this out on my own. Lord, touch their hearts. We're not mad at them. Let the Holy Spirit of God come upon them and melt them and let them know who you are gently, kindly, savingly. And if there be one here today who knows you not as Savior, right where they sit, may they just confess to you, Lord, I'm a sinner. I've sinned by choice. I'd like forgiveness for that. And I'd like to accept you as my Lord and Savior, and I promise, upon the authority of the Word of God, He will save you. Give us safe traveling mercies. Be with those who are ill. Thank you that we could gather in your name and bring us to this place again next Sunday, that we can say truly, it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for His holy sake. Amen and amen.